I don't think the devil wanted me to preach this sermon, because I planned to preach this sermon way back in the wintertime, and I don't remember, it's a three-part series, I don't remember what happened on the first one. It was either I got pneumonia or we had an ice storm. And then on the second week, I think we had one or the other, and this got pushed back. And then I got this wonderful back condition, and I thought, oh, Lord, am I ever going to be able to deliver this sermon? So, devil, shut up. Get out of here. Amen. She's back. I'm not talking about the devil. I'm talking about Kathy.
You're forgiven.
Thank you. On May 2, 2008, in Wilmington, North Carolina, the USS North Carolina submarine was commissioned for duty in the United States Navy. With a crew of 144 people, its mission was to fight terrorism around the globe. Now, Fox News reported on this commissioning ceremony, and the Secretary of the Navy at that time was Donald Winter, and he said this: "We must remain vigilant and be prepared to face the challenges that risk surprising us in the decades ahead. With USS North Carolina, the nation has made an investment in our safety and in our peace. She now joins the world's greatest navy and will be cast into a wide range of missions." With those words, the crew was assured that the full authority of the United States of America was behind them and what they were to do. They were being sent out on an assignment that would be of utmost importance to the entire world. And in that same way, Jesus Christ commissioned his disciples. He gathered them together before his ascension, and he gave them a commissioning ceremony. And this is what he said in Matthew 28, verse 16. "The 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. And when they saw him, they worshiped him." I want to pause right there, because worship comes before evangelism. Worship comes before missions. Worship comes first. When they saw him, they worshiped him. But some doubted. And then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." We call that the Great Commission of the Lord Jesus Christ. And through it, he did three things. First of all, he reassured them of his authority. And secondly, he gave them instructions for action. And thirdly, he promised that his presence would always be with them. The teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ to his 12 disciples are for all of us. The instructions that he gave that day to his 11 disciples are for all of us. And he gave three instructions: make disciples, baptize them, and teach them to obey me. Now today we begin a three-part series. And first is discipleship, and then baptism, and then obedience. Starting with discipleship, I am now going to lower the pulpit and sit on my crutch because the devil does not want me to preach this sermon. Shut up, devil. What is a disciple? The word itself is from the Latin, discipulus, and it simply means learner. A disciple is a student, a pupil of a teacher. Jesus carefully chose 12 men to be his students. But those 12 were not his only disciples. He had hundreds, if not thousands, of students that followed this great rabbi, wanting to hear what he had to say because they wanted to get whatever they could gain from him. People of all ages, men, women, children, gathered around him and listened, hoping to get something in their lives that would make a difference and help them get closer to God. And I am sure that many of them were more interested in the benefits that they could get from him for their life than they were about Jesus as a man. They wanted life-changing teaching. Are you a disciple of Jesus Christ? You are a disciple of somebody. You are a pupil of somebody. Who is your teacher? Maybe I could put it in the plural. Who are your teachers? You are a disciple of many teachers in your life. You can be a disciple, a student of any teacher. But the most important question is, are you a learner, a teacher, a disciple, a pupil of Jesus Christ? Yes, then technically you are his disciple. Now, normally a student will go to the teacher and seek the teacher's leading. In contrast, however, Jesus initiated the invitation for the people that he chose to be his primary students. They were honored. They were set apart. And hundreds and thousands who listened to his words initiated being his students. They came to him. Question, did Jesus choose you? Or did you choose Jesus? John 15:16, Jesus said, "You did not choose me. I chose you." You're not one of the 12, but you are one of the blessed. You're one of the chosen. Hallelujah. Jesus chose you. Don't feel too proud about that, however. You do follow in the footsteps of the chosen 12, but let's look at their examples. Peter smelled like fish, and besides stinking all the time, he was uncultured and he was impulsive. Andrew, James, and John, they also smelled like fish, and they were very unrefined. Philip was indecisive. Thomas was cynical. Matthew was considered to be a traitor. Simon the Zealot was dangerous as a patriot, and Judas was a thief. They were a very unlikely bunch of students, of learners, of disciples, and so are we. Look at us. No, don't. We would be advised not to crow like the rooster just because we were chosen by Jesus Christ to be his disciples. We should be humbled by that. Someone had a clever way of describing our spiritual development as disciples of Jesus Christ. They said this: if you can live without caffeine, if you can be cheerful, ignoring your aches and pains, if you can resist complaining, if you can understand when your loved ones are too busy to give you any time, if you can take criticism and blame without resentment, if you can resist treating a rich friend better than a poor friend, If you can conquer tension without medical help, if you can sleep without the aid of drugs, if you can honestly say deep in your heart you have no prejudice, then congratulations. You have almost reached the same level of spiritual development as your dog. One of the things that Jesus made clear in the Great Commission is he was more than a teacher. He has all authority. Not some authority. He has all authority. Do you buy into that? That Jesus Christ has all authority? And if you buy into that, do you buy into it that he has all authority over your life? Over your life. You and I, we listen to the commands of people in authority all the times, and we try to be obedient. We follow our elected leaders. They make laws. We try to follow those laws, even if we don't agree with them, even if we don't like them. We submit to their authority. We obey the instructions of our parents, hopefully. We obey the instructions of our grandparents, hopefully. We obey our employers. We obey security personnel. We even obey the crossing guard when the children are going to and leaving school. But do we submit to the one who has all of the authority over all of those who have authority in our lives? What authority do you give Jesus Christ in your life? That is a measurement of what kind of a disciple you are. And Jesus said in John 14, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Do you keep his commandments? Don't answer. Do you keep his commandments? Now, while the term disciple primarily means learner and therefore pupil or a student, it also means follower. But it goes even deeper than that. A true disciple is also an imitator. Your calling is to learn from Jesus, follow Jesus, and imitate Jesus in the way that you live your life. That is what it means to be his disciple. That sounds good. That sounds wonderful, but it also sounds very scary. Especially when you consider some of the words that we read like these in Matthew 16:24. Then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. That is a major qualifier for being his disciple. And Jesus did not limit those instructions to his chosen 12. He said that anyone who would claim to be his disciple needs to hear those words. And when he said, follow me, he didn't mean put on some sandals and walk around the Sea of Galilee. If that's all he had meant, that would have been easy and that would have been great. There was a great deal more to it. He meant everything that we've talked about so far, about being a student, about imitating him and so forth. But then he slipped in these zingers. He said, we are to deny ourselves and we are to carry a cross. If he had only said that one time, that would be unsettling enough. But he amplified on that. In Matthew 10:38, he said, anyone who does not take up his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. And in Luke 14:27, Jesus said, anyone who does not carry his cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. This is where the rubber meets the road. When it comes to discipleships, brothers and sisters. And we see lots of Christians who are looking for a detour off of that road. What about you? Does this make you squirm a little bit when you really dig down into the meaning of this? Does it make you squirm? It does me and a lot of other folks. How do we deny ourselves? Here's the answer. We cannot do it. Fully. If we could, we would never get angry. If we could, there would be no road rage. If we could do that, there would be no losers. Everyone would be a winner. Perhaps our inability to fully deny ourselves is why Jesus said we needed to carry a cross. You see, when you carry a cross, you quickly learn that life is not always about you. Life is not always about me when I carry a cross. My toys, my money, my goals diminish. Yours become more important. When I carry a cross, your needs, your dreams, your feelings become more important than mine. But in addition to that, carrying a cross leads to death. The Apostle Paul put it this way in 1 Corinthians 15:31. He said, "I die every day." The German theologian Dietrich Bonhoeffer wrote a classic book called The Cost of Discipleship. And in that book, he said this, "When Christ calls a man, he bids him come and die." That death does not happen right away. It's a process. It's a journey. We talked about that last week, didn't we? It's a journey where self is taken off of the throne and Jesus is put on your throne, where Jesus alone has a rightful place to be. And hallelujah, it also leads to resurrection. It's like planting a seed. Sometimes something has to die in order that new life could come. The truth is that you have set that seed free to be what it was intended to be. Do you realize, I'm sure you remember this, that was the first sermon I preached 8 years ago? When we first started, I said something has to die and sometimes that's painful. And I was preaching to many of you who left a church you loved and you had to die to that. And you planted a seed and you've watched it grow. You've watched it flourish. And how did that happen? It's all you, right? You did it all. No. You followed. You imitated. You learned. You sat at the feet of your leader and you became his disciple. And he has blessed you. He has blessed you and he continues to bless you. Discipleship means self-denial, carrying a cross to crucifixion. And if you take that literally, you'll probably give up. That's partly why I believe the Apostle Paul gave us this teaching in 2 Corinthians 4, beginning in verse 8. He says, "We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. We know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus. Therefore, we do not lose heart, though outwardly we are wasting away." Amen. "Yet inwardly, we are being renewed day by day." Being a disciple of Jesus Christ means that we learn how to die, yet live. How to deny ourselves, yet gain our soul. How not to lose heart, but to be renewed every day. Are you his disciple? Now, we come to the really hard part. This is where the rubber really meets the road. Jesus Christ assumed that you were his disciple. It was not his instruction for you to become his disciple. He assumed you are. His instruction is for you to make others his disciple. That is the Great Commission. That is why we are an army of Christ. Jesus is looking for disciples, not for just admirers. Admiring Jesus is wonderful, and there may be, God forbid, people here are here only because you admire Christianity or Jesus. He wants you to go deeper than that. He wants you to really make disciples in His name. He's looking for you to find men and women who will decide to follow Him and His radical teachings. Yes, He wants us to lead people to be Christians, but He wants more. He wants us to make them His disciples. You know, the word Christian appears in the Bible 3 times, but the word disciple appears in the Bible 296 times. Your job, our job, is to move others from being curious about Jesus to being convinced about Jesus to being committed to Jesus. That's what it means to be a disciple following the Great Commission of Jesus Christ. But you cannot do it, brothers and sisters. You cannot do it unless you have traveled the path yourself. Unless you have committed yourself to being His disciples. And unless you can join the Apostle Paul in these words, I have been crucified with Christ. And I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. Amen. Let's pray. Lord God, You have called us and set us apart. You have chosen us. You have taught us. You have equipped us. Thank You. And I pray, Lord, that You will take us to the next step, every single one of us, that we will be missionaries to bring other people into the kingdom of God, to commit to being His disciple, Your disciple. Thank You, Lord, for this instruction. Thank You for this challenge. May we rise up and obey. In Jesus' name, amen.